Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The Security and Exchange Commission is looking into social media posts for signs of potential fraud amid the last few weeks of volatile trading on Wall Street. The U.S. securities regulator is investigating whether or not the posts were part of a manipulative effort to drive up share prices for companies like GameStop and AMC. A group of Reddit users caused short-term surges in those shares by encouraging investors to buy them in bulk. Some day traders cashed in big, but hedge fund investors lost a reported $19 billion. Well, tonight we're going to break down what this is all about and what it may mean to you and your money. My guests are Adam Holland, stock options educator and investor, and LaShawn Holland, author and financial wealth coach. Lines are open. If you have some questions about this GameStop controversy, at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Adam and LaShawn, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Good evening, Harold. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. You two are a mother and son team, all about investing and making money. So let me first start with you, Adam. For those of us who are completely uninitiated and unaware, in some cases, about what this was all about last week, what happened?
All right, so basically what happened is that in the past few weeks, GameStop has been absolutely dominating headlines, and at one point the stock's price ran, upwards of 700% what it was a few weeks ago. And essentially, like you said, an internet chat room community called Wall Street Bets pretty much ran up the price of this stock, and what they did was they manufactured what's called a short squeeze, and I can tell you a little bit about what that is. So shorting is pretty common practice in the market, right? It's if you believe a stock's price is going to go down, you borrow that stock, you sell it at a high price, then you buy it back at a low price, and you net the difference. So basically, I can liken it in an example to, let's say, you have Patrick Mahomes' Super Bowl ring. You borrow it from him. Let's say you think that the Chiefs are going to lose this weekend in the Super Bowl, right, the second one. So you say, okay, maybe the ring's value will go down. I'm going to go ahead and sell it now for, $50,000. Then after it, when he loses, I'm going to buy it back for, let's say, $10,000. I net $40,000. That is what these institutions were trying to do with a dying stock like GameStop. GameStop is not doing very well. They haven't been doing well for the past couple of years. But what happens is, let's say that the stock doesn't go down like you think it's going to and you can't buy it back cheaper. Let's say that the price gets driven up. Then you have to go back and buy it for a higher price, and that drives the stock up even more. So that's what caused the crazy increase in GameStop, was that basically they identified that, hey, institutions are trying to short this stock. Let's go in and cause a short squeeze and cause the stock to just shoot up. And then they have to buy it back at a higher price, so it just shoots it up even more. So that's essentially what ended up happening, Harold.
So how is it that these chat room little guy, and I say that, I put that in air quotes, these chat room traders are able to drive up a stock that was suffering so much? We're not talking about four or five guys here. We're talking about a whole lot of people having this conversation in an investment chat room.
Yeah, well, that was the thing, was that it's pretty much unprecedented. Like, it's not necessarily, as of right now, nothing that they did was illegal. It was just unprecedented that you could ever get 3 million people in such a centralized manner to, and that's how many people are subscribed to that thread, almost 3 million people, to organize a short squeeze. That's something that's completely unprecedented. It's not illegal for me to go and say, hey, I'm investing in this, but for 3 million people to come together and all do the same thing with complete blind dedication to the cause was something that, hedge funds had never come in contact with, and that is what caused all the controversy, because at the end of the day, big money doesn't like losing big money. So they're going to make whatever happens that needs to happen in order to protect themselves.
One of the other things just being reported also, this is apparently so serious that the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, is now prompting an investigation into this process. So this isn't just a small thing. But, you know, LaShawn, for those folks who only look at their retirement when their spouse tells them to, you know, or when it comes up in the company email, we saw some drops in the stock market that impacted 403Bs, 401Ks, IRAs, and the like as a result of this. That's kind of scary for a lot of people.
I know. It wasn't a direct result of GameStop, because if your money inside of your 401k or your 403b, if your plan administrator has any investments in GameStop, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't directly related. It was other underlying things that was already going on in the market.
Mm-hmm. When you say underlying things, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, she can pass to me there. Basically, the market's driven by technical, meaning chart-related factors, or fundamental factors, meaning real-world factors that impact, you know, how much companies are valued. So in terms of a chart standpoint, we have been in a pattern, a bearish pattern, bearish meaning the market leaning to go downward for the past several weeks, leaning on month and a half. So the market, you know, as you know, if you've been watching, has been reaching all-time highs pretty consistently. But it's always healthy for a market to pull back. And depending on where we finish this week, what you saw on Friday might have been the beginning of what could be a 6-7% pullback in the market, which is completely healthy. But that would have been happening independently of this whole GameStop situation.
So if I'm someone who is not a day trader, meaning that I'm not sitting in front of my computer buying stock every day, whether it's a handful of stock or whether I do that for a living, why should I be concerned about what appears to be stock manipulation, whether it's GameStop, whether it's AMC, or we are also seeing reports that even the price of silver may be part of this same kind of stock manipulative exercise?
Yes. So what happened over this past weekend, Wall Street Bets announced that they were going to go after silver. And so really this was a big boy move, because if everyday investors, or as you said, the little guy, really wants to make an impact against the establishment or against the centralized system, the place to do that really is silver. And I find it funny that the SEC wants to do an investigation. Banks have illegally manipulated silver markets for decades. Like, it's a known thing. Banks sell silver short. And so when you talk about them going after silver, physical silver sold out on nearly every single website that you go to. And it's important because the vast majority of silver is traded in just paper contracts. And so it's one of the largest things that are manipulated in the market. And banks and institutional money have been manipulating it for decades now.
So should I worry about my retirement account knowing that, okay, over the past couple of weeks it was GameStop or AMC, but then what if someone decides to do something in a stock that could be part of my stock portfolio or part of my retirement portfolio? Should I be worried about this?
Mm-hmm. So I can answer that, Harold. Basically, what they were doing is targeting stocks or ETFs that have heavy short activity, right? So a lot of people are looking to short it. Most of what would be in your retirement account, your standard account, would not be stocks like GameStop, you know, stocks that are constantly downtrending. No one would have that, you know, in their account. So you wouldn't have to worry about that manipulation really affecting you. Pretty much as long as you stay out of the way of big money in the market, you don't have to worry about things like this happening. Unfortunately, it should be a free, you know, regulated market. it isn't, but the average person, you know, is not going to end up going head-to-head against institutional money. So you don't have to worry about that, because all the, you know, your Apples, your Amazons, all your normal blue chip stocks, those ones don't have that heavy short activity, so that you could have a short squeeze for it to be a target for something like Wall Street Bets.
Right. So I think to reiterate what Adam was saying, you don't have to be concerned because of the GameStops or the silver. What I would be concerned about for my retirement account right now is because the market is due for a market reset. And so you want to make sure that your retirement money is in a place where it's protected. Your money is protected against market risk. You have guaranteed lifetime income and an account where your money can participate in the exposure to the growth or the market gains. And so those are the top three areas that you really need to look at: growth, protect, and guaranteed lifetime income. And because we are set for a market correction, the market corrects itself literally in a cycle. And so it happens every few years anyway. People get afraid of market corrections, but it's something that's very normal, and it's an opportunity for you to be able to make money.
Mm. I want to talk a little bit more about that in just a bit, but I want to go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about this stock market controversy from the past couple of weeks and what it may mean to you. DeAndrea, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I just find it pretty troublesome that the SEC is going to start looking at our social media posts. I mean, we should be able to use our money however we want and spend on whatever stocks we want. I mean, last week on Robinhood, they stopped trading on AMC and GameStop, and that was crazy. I mean, and now the SEC is going to start watching our social media posts?
So to DeAndrea's point, because you said, Adam, in the beginning, well, there's nothing wrong with people getting together and doing what they did. There's nothing wrong with it now. But that kind of stock manipulation that, you know, once it becomes part of a bigger picture, is there some danger in that, particularly for little guy investors who may decide, well, I want to get in on this game?
Well, so it's what happens is that it's being manipulated from the other side, right? If I got together and me and you, Harold, got together and we said, hey, listen, we're going to invest money in Apple, you guys should too. That's not illegal at all. And that's no different than what went on with GameStop, with AMC, any of that. However, it infringed upon the goals of big money, of big capital institutions in this country. And unfortunately, whoever writes the check, my mom always says, controls the flow. So that's what ended up happening. You look at, you know, one of the biggest principles I tell my students in my investment courses, you need to operate in the market based off of how it is, not how it should be. And unfortunately, a lot of people learned that tough lesson these past few weeks, that in the market, you know, things don't play fair. It should be a free and open market. But you saw Robinhood stop trading on GameStop. They stopped it on AMC. Whenever it started to go up, they would halt trading, and then institutions would sell it back and forth to each other at a lower price, decreasing the price over and over again. So it's just whatever they want to do, they're going to do, unfortunately. So while we can work through the legislative system to try and change that, as of right now, you just need to learn how to identify opportunities in the market other than ones under the microscope.
Mm-hmm. DeAndrea,
and those happen every day.
DeAndrea, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the stock market, the GameStop and AMC controversy from the past couple of weeks. What does it mean to you? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that happened was that the hedge funds, what they may call the big boys and the big girls, lost about $19 billion over this issue. But then there were some other folks, LaShawn, who, as GameStop started to go up, they jumped in. without all of the best information. And they were also taken to the cleaner, something called, I think, chasing the market. Talk to me about that real quick.
Right. There's always danger in following the herd. It's actually called irrational exuberance, too. So that's when everybody starts talking about it. You go to the barbershop and you have Tyrone the barber who's telling you what to do in the market.
Not Tyrone.
Yes, Tyrone. Call Tyrone. No. Tyrone, I'm not messing with you today. But it's called rational exuberance when everybody and their mama is talking about it. We saw it in 2007, 2008 with the real estate market, and everybody was telling you to get in. The problem is they got in when the money has already been made and the bubble had burst. And so the same thing with the same thing happened with GameStop, and you had the slow comers who wanted to jump on the bandwagon. And so it's the, you know, it's the danger of following the herd. They had no rhyme or reason. They didn't look at any fundamentals. They didn't know anything about charts or what the charts were saying, you know. And so it caused them to lose. I think by Thursday it had dropped like 69%. And, you know, again, and then today it was like 33%. And so that is the danger of following the herd, when, because depending on when you heard the information, it could be done because the market moves so quickly.
Yeah. I need to take a real quick break, and then, Adam, I'll let you follow up because I know you're chomping at the bit. Also, we're going to talk to Michelle calling from Virginia, Ahmed calling from Belleville, Illinois. How about that?
Awesome.
Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue in just a bit. We, of course, want to remind you that you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. You can also download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone, and you can hear the program live in its entirety. If you are on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. Also, lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. And this discussion continues on SiriusXM channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are breaking down the GameStop stock trading controversy and what it may mean to you. My guests are Adam Holland, stock options educator and investor, and LaShawn Holland, author and financial wealth coach. Yes, they are mother and son. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Okay, so Adam, go ahead and finish your point.
So I was just going to piggyback on the back of what my mom was saying and just kind of illustrating the fact that, and again, I tell my students this, whenever you enter into a trade or an investment, you always need to have a plan, right? It's like if you hop on a flight. You don't hop on a flight and you don't know where the plane is landing. So when you get into an investment, that moment you press send and you press trade, you need to have an exit strategy. I'm planning to make this much. I'm planning to get out here. I want to get in here. The same thing that kind of was the strength of this whole Wall Street Bet strategy, which was the blind buying, ended up being the weakness as well, because, you know, once the institutional money came in and they started manipulating, Robinhood shut things down, and I guess the strength of that fortitude kind of wore down, people didn't know what to do. They didn't know what, when they should get out, when they should, how long they should hold, that type of thing. And that really ended up, it was their strength in the beginning when the market let them run free, but then when they came in to shut them down and now nobody has a plan, it really ended up kind of unraveling.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Michelle calling from Virginia. Michelle, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Michelle,
yes,
are you there?
Know.
Yeah, go right
yes,
ahead.
Hi. I wanted to know, what advice would you give to people who have Robinhood accounts and we wanted to trade on a different platform, how can we carry over our shares to another platform?
That's such a great question. Either one of you.
Yeah, so that is a great question. You can talk directly to Robinhood. They actually have like a walkthrough list. I refer you to the list before I try to explain it without you looking at it with a computer in front of you. But I do 100% recommend you going to a different platform, because I never recommended for any of my students to get on Robinhood even before all of this, you know, tomfoolery occurred. They failed to factor in a leap year a number of months ago when people got locked out of their accounts, couldn't get their money. So I just don't. If you're serious about, you know, investing and using your money as a tool in the market, then you definitely need to get on a real platform, you know, Schwab, TD Ameritrade, Thinkorswim, something like that.
Real quick, before we let Michelle go, what is Robinhood and how does it differ from some of the other stock trading platforms that you've mentioned? Because I know there are others that give you not, you know, for people who don't have a lot of money, you have others mm-hmm. like, I think there's one called Acorn and some. Talk to me about
One Gold, Uphold.
Yeah. So what's going on with the Robinhoods and the Acorns and the like?
Well, so Robinhood is different from Acorns, and the Acorns invest for you. Robinhood, you still buy securities yourself, but they're very user-friendly, right? So it's really easy to get on. It's really easy to buy things. It makes it a lot for the average person and the average investor, the average Joe who just wants to buy a couple stocks. They make it really easy and unintimidating to do so. But on the flip side of that, they also have somewhat gamified investing. So like when you place trades, confetti goes off. And what happens when you gamify things is that, number one, there's that dopamine release, so people get addicted. And then number two, you start having an influx of money that kind of there has no real rhyme or reason or direction. And there were papers written kind of debating the effect of this wild card money in the market and whether or not it did have an effect. But I think the past 2 weeks have shown that it definitely has an effect. And it's kind of sent big money scrambling.
Okay. Michelle, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ahmed calling from Belleville, Illinois. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Hi, yeah, my name is Ahmed Junaid. I'm calling from Belleville, Illinois. So my question is, since I'm just like a new investor in this field, so at this point, since I'm listening a lot of stories on the media, so what do you recommend like about these stocks like AMC and GameStop? Should I invest in these or should I stay away from these companies?
At this point, for my professional opinion, I think you need to stay away from anything that big money has a target on the back. Because just like we saw last week, it doesn't matter how many people want to buy, they will limit your buying. At one point, you can only buy one stock, like one share of each stock at a time. At one point, you couldn't even buy it at all. So I don't want to be involved with anything like that. It's like if you go to take an Uber ride, right? You typically mm-hmm. want to take an Uber from a ride from a guy who's a clean guy, someone who doesn't have, let's say, a record or any type of felonious activity. So I'm going to take a ride with the guy that I know I won't get pulled over by the police with. You know, with AMC, with GameStop, the police might pull you over and seize all your assets. So it's kind of the same thing. There are a lot more opportunities that aren't under the microscope of people trying to stifle your gains that I think would be a lot easier for you to sleep at night if you were involved in those.
So let me help Ahmed just a little bit. Ahmed, you just won the lottery last week. I said so.
Oh, wow.
But it was just for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just for, let's say you won for $100,000, not the big millions. And you want to take that $100,000 and invest. What should he do with that $100,000, Deshaun?
For me, if he did not have the proper education to know where to go in the market right now, one of the things that I would put the money, again, I mentioned it earlier, to make sure that it's in a place where you protect it and it actually has the ability to grow with the market. And so there are investment vehicles out there that you could put your money in and start out with a little bit. It doesn't have to be a lot that has the potential to grow. The principal of it will be protected in the market. And if you really did want to be in the market, there are other safe investments. It's you doing your research, understanding what cycles are, what cycle we are in the market, and going after safer bets. I would probably stay away, if you don't have a lot of money, from the FANG stocks, which are your Facebook, your Apple, your Alphabet, your Netflix, and Google stock, because those stocks are so over-evaluated right now. So what you want to look for is stocks that are really undervalued.
So where does he where does he find that information? Because he doesn't know. All he knows is that Tyrone at the barbershop has been investing for a long time, and that his sister has a 401k on her job, and that somebody else has a 403B, and somebody else that he knows has an IRA, and he wants to get in on this, but he needs to know what questions to even ask, because he just doesn't know anything. So where does he start?
He can call me as a start. No, you know, we have classes and courses to teach people, and we start as simply on the classes as what is a stock. And so the information is out there for you to be able to do, but we'd be more than happy to help Ahmed do what he want to do in the marketplace.
Well, I was asking more specifically, though, Adam, for that, you know, before he calls LaShawn or before he calls you, I mean, where should he begin to get some information?
Mm-hmm. So to be honest, if you're asking, if you got $100,000 and where you're looking to put it, you want to look at secularly uptrending sectors, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean?
So secularly uptrending means it is going up over the long term. So you think about going green, right? Overall, oil companies are declining over the course of the next few decades, right? No one wants to keep burning oil, messing up the environment, et cetera, et cetera. So that's secularly downtrending. Something that's secularly uptrending would be like electric vehicles. It would be solar energy, which is some of the cheapest yet most effective and efficient alternative energies that we have, especially with Democrats in office. Solar energy is looking to look very good over the next 4 years. You look at cloud companies. Everybody keeps all our pictures, everything in the cloud. Companies that construct and maintain those clouds are going to be companies that will continuously go up. Their stock will go up in the next few years because those are things that we need.
Yeah, the medical industry, also holistic health, healthcare, feel-good companies, biotech, these are all stocks that are on the uptrend.
But but to that point, not all, let's take biotech or healthcare, not all stocks are created equal.
You're absolutely right. And so that's why it's important that you have an education and you know the fundamentals, so you can actually look at the trends to say, okay, this is a great investment, or this one, not so much.
Okay.
Well, at the end of the day, yeah, you've got to invest. The investment with the biggest payout you can ever get, the best return you can ever get, is going to be in yourself and via education. That way you can decipher opportunities that happen in the market each and every day and decide for yourself where the best place is to put your money. And the easiest way to get that is, you know, through a course or with a coach, something like that.
Okay, well, I'll make sure that we post your information on our website tonight, as we always do, on WHUR.com. Ahmed, thank you so much. Can I borrow $20 since I gave you $100,000?
Let's go to Vegas, Ahmed.
That would not be a good investment.
Right.
Ahmed, thank you so much. Let's go to Gerald. Gerald calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. The question that I had, the panelists had stated earlier about in your 401k, that there were two factors that you wanted to consider. One, I think, was the protection against the market corrections and lifetime income. One, how does somebody sort of identify those in their 401k plan?
Well, it wouldn't be inside of your 401k plan. There are other products out there that are retirement products that a lot of people are unaware of, and it's actually called the IULA, Index Universal Life. And with this particular product, you have the opportunity for your money to grow. And so it mimics the market. Your money is just not in the market because the product is indexed. And
what does that mean?
The ability to have guaranteed
LaShawn, let me stop you real quick. You said indexed. What does that mean?
Indexed simply just means it's actually not in the market totally. It just mimics the market.
Okay, go ahead.
And so that's what I mean by that. And protect your money against the market losses or the downturns of the market. And so your principal is always protected. And so with an IUL, it gives you the protection. It gives you the gains that you want. And you get tax-free retirement in the form of lifetime income.
Okay,
and so again, it's called an IUL or Index Universal Life product.
So how would one then sort of be engaged in something like that? Do you have to see a broker or a trader?
Yeah, you can just go to an insurance broker. An insurance broker, if they actually have that product to offer you, you just ask them about the IUL. But there's plenty of information on the internet, you know, about IULs. But you can go to an insurance broker who is licensed, and an insurance broker who is licensed should be able to give you the information about the IUL and explain how it actually works. It's a wonderful product because not only is it a retirement vehicle product, it actually is something that you can use while you're living also. And so it has benefits that comes along with it, like critical illness, terminal illness, you know, chronic care and disability. And so it's not just one thing. It has free riders, that, and that's one of the reasons why I think it's such an amazing product.
Mm-hmm. And, okay. And because it is a life insurance product, correct?
Yes.
And so something like that, would it be something where you probably need to be looking as, say, a 5 to 10 year sort of kind of investment, or is it something that, you know, perhaps you might need to look for a longer term investment to really see the kind of sort of gains that one would need in terms of, you know, that guaranteeing that lifetime income?
Well, it really depends on your age, too. So that's one thing. Depending on your age would, you know, determine what product I tell you. If you're 50 or over, you probably should be looking at an annuity. And, you know, if you're younger than that, then the IUL is what I would tell you. So there are a couple of questions that an insurance broker probably would ask you. And depending on how you answer that, one of the key factors being your age would determine, you know, the answer to your question.
And what is the difference between an annuity and an IUL?
Well, an annuity, like annuity, actually, they, a couple of years ago, it fits like a Roth IRA also. And so with an annuity, the difference is the older that you get, you have a little less flexibility on the growth. And so the growth is like 6%, but it's better than you. Your money's always protected against the downturns of the market with an annuity. And so it's only like 6%, but it's better than a 10 or 20% loss when the market corrects itself.
Mm-hmm. Lots to think about, Gerald. Thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it.
And thank you all for being a panelist and sharing this information with the community. It's essential and is really needed. Thank you,
Gerald, for calling in.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So when you are, you know, as we are looking forward beyond this GameStop controversy, and there are a lot of people out there who, like Ahmed, who are just trying to get in and trying to figure out, where to go. And so again, I guess my question is, if there is a concern, as you know, LaShawn said about a correction, what does that mean? If you have a 401k, if you have a 403b, or if you have an IRA or any other kind of investment vehicle, what does that correction mean going forward? Should we wait for the correction? You certainly can't forecast it, can you?
No one knows the exact day or time that
Not the exact, but with technical indicators, you can get pretty darn close.
Yeah, you can get close, but don't cut me off, son.
Okay, I'm going to let you all deal with that later.
No, and so, listen, we every asset class has a cycle. And so when you look at the real estate market, there is an 18 to 20-year cycle. When you look at stocks, there's a cycle. When you look at commodities, there's a cycle. And so like Adam said, yeah, you can get pretty close. There are certain things that you start to look at in the market that will give you an indicator. We have excessive, you know, economic optimism there. You have extensive use of margin debt and leverage by market participants. And so you have corporate hacks, changes in federal law and regulations, which we're going into now with the new administration. And, you know, so these are some of the things, crowd psychology with the herd mentality, and that actually factor into us having a market crash. And so a market crash is simply, you know, the stock dropping 10% or more in a fast pace or fast period of time.
But we have had corrections that in recent history would only be called corrections. But if you, Adam, you may not remember this, but I'm sure your mother remembers this. I believe it was 1987. It was a Black Monday or something like that.
Yeah.
There was a huge, by today's standard, would be considered a correction, but back in 87, it was a crash, 500
points. Yeah, it was
points.
A crash. Actually, it was October the 9th, 1987. And 2 years after that, we had another crash, you know, in Japan. And so a couple years after that, we had the dot-com crash, and so the tech bubble. We have them every few years, and so people really shouldn't be afraid of crashes because it's also an opportunity for you to be able to make money. No one buys high to sell high. You want to buy low to be able to sell high. And so, you know, you had a flash crash in 2010. You had another one, you know, with the Chinese stock market in 2015, 2016. And so the market has had corrections over the years. No, it's not for you to be afraid of it, but I do believe that you should protect your money if you can. And so what I've been telling a lot of my clients, especially within their 401k, where they have a plan administrator and they don't have freedom to just do what they want to do with their money. And so sometimes people may want to get into cash or cash derivatives inside of their 401ks or put them in something that's a little bit more secure.
Now, what is a cash derivative?
A cash derivative is something that acts like it, like depending on a mutual fund. It's like a cash derivative. A CD, a certificate of deposit, is like a cash derivative, which, by the way, I'm not a fan of because I think there are other places in the market that you could put your money and have, you know, greater returns.
Yeah, not to mention, where the percentage, the interest rates on CDs right now?
You know, I don't deal with CDs, so I have no clue. I know it's next to nothing because banks aren't paying anything on CDs or savings accounts.
Yeah, right, half a percent, 0.75%, something
it's
like
really,
that.
It's really, really
I
low.
Mean, gosh, you could make more money playing three-card Molly at Haynes Point.
Absolutely, or asking Tyrone to give you some in the shop.
Yeah, that's right, or at least don't tip Tyrone at the So, but, you know, with that said, there are all kinds of investment opportunities. And and I'm glad I have you both on here because one of the things I've been really, really curious about, because I have done day trading now for probably about 20 years and within and without and outside of some retirement plans. And it's done well for me, you know, better than, you know, sometimes I've had some losses, certainly, but more wins than losses. But one of the things that I've noticed over the past 20 years is that for all companies, whether it's Charles Schwab, Merrill Lynch, TD Ameritrade, is that they've gone from really expensive costs to buy stock to no fees at all when you buy. Mm-hmm. How do these companies make money if they've ceased to charge you for buying the stocks that you're interested in?
Well, there are still transaction fees, even if it's not particularly per transaction. And also you have to pay in order to use their platforms, right? So in order to be there, you have to pay. It might be yearly. It depends on where you are. But you have to pay to use TD Ameritrade, you know, to use Schwab, something like that. So they will make your money. But it was TD Ameritrade really that opened the door to the no fees.
Yes.
I think they were the first ones. It might have been a year ago now, but a number of months ago, they were the first ones that came through with the no fees. And then as a result, you know, everyone else had to follow because obviously they became an unbeatable alternative. But that was also really one of the things, too, that lowered the barriers to investing in kind of casual trading, was that before people didn't like the fact that it took some, you know, you had to put some skin in the game in order to place a trade. Now you can do so for relatively free once you pay those upfront costs. So that really kind of, I guess, lowered the standard and kind of let anybody who wanted to hop in, they had a lot less qualms about getting in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they also make money, Harold. Like Robinhood, it was discovered, was in the hip pocket of the hedge fund boys. And so Robinhood gets a lot of its income from some of these hedge funds who pay for order flow. So these companies make money from hedge fund companies, too, that actually pay for order flow to them.
So two things. Again, give me the... you know, the short definition. What is a hedge fund? We hear this in popular culture. This is money that is truly rare air. For a lot of working stiffs out there who may or may not have a retirement account. So what is, first of all, a hedge fund? How do they work? Where does the money come from? And you were talking about the money flow. Explain that to me as well, please.
So you can pretty much just think of a hedge fund as a large conglomeration of money. And there are different places, you know, where corporations and also wealthy people put their money, and hedge funds can go and invest that money. So that's what they are. They're pretty much just, you know, that person when someone asks you, hey, can I just give you some money and you invest it for me? The hedge fund is that guy. That's the person that goes about doing that. But they also are deeply invested in the market in other ways. Like you look at, you know, there are things called market makers, right? They're the people that you never see, but they're the ones that orchestrate how the market works. So like the prices for options contracts or futures contracts, they set these prices, right? Well, those are the same people that are also investing in the market. So there's kind of a conflict of interest because platforms like Robinhood need those market makers in order for their platforms to run. It's like if you're a casino and you don't have anyone producing the odds for you, that casino can't run. So they have extreme leverage over the platforms because they can't run without them. And that's what a lot of people think ended up happening with the case of Robinhood, was that these hedge funds put the pressure on them like, hey, you can't run without us. So we're not going to let you be an instrument of our own demise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so really to answer your question or add on to what Adam said, a hedge fund is really just a pooled investment fund that trades mm-hmm. in relatively liquid assets. And, you know, some of them can be extremely risky, but a lot of times you have to have a high net worth in order for a hedge fund to even handle your money.
Yeah. One mm-hmm. of the other things that has come up over the past, you know, couple of years, is that even as the economy has taken a bit of a downturn, the stock market has gone up. And for people who are not in the stock market, that doesn't make a lot of sense, and that's why we see news headlines like, even during the pandemic, the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. Why have we seen the stock market continue to go up while the economy has taken such a hit?
Well, I'll take that one. One of the reasons, too, Harold, you have to look at the people who were the hardest hit in our economy were low-wage paying jobs. They weren't in the stock market anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at behavioral biases, meaning people with bullish attitudes, we have the vaccine that's out now that has caused people to get happy, put money in the market, the country's reopening back up. And so all of these play a part in our stock market really continuing to go up. You have small businesses that were slaughtered, you know, due to COVID-19, but the S&P 500 is not made up of a bunch of small businesses. And so though, you know, the largest companies didn't get hit the same way. They still got hit, but not in the same way that your small businesses got hit. And so another thing is you have consumer loans that are in deficit. Well, who is the holder of those loans? Adam mentioned it before, something that I say all the time, he who holds the gold makes the rules. And so you're looking at the small man really wasn't in the market. And so what's going on in the economy? You have over 70 million people that have filed for unemployment. They were the hardest hit, but they weren't in the market to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Let me take another phone call real quick. Last call, Joe, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's on your mind?
Hey, I want to commend the young lady that that's given a presentation on the IULs and the IULs and the annuities. That is great, and that had to be an eye-opener for other people because I'm an insurance broker myself, and that these are the most very powerful retirement vehicles you can use, and I'm glad our community is starting to get to know about this, and I want to commend you for that. You did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But I have to tell you, my husband is a licensed insurance agent, too. So that's how I know about the information. We've been doing it for years.
Yeah. Joe.
And I love it. And I just want to go.
Oops, Joe, you're breaking up, but I think we got the gist of your call, and certainly thank you for that. And to that point, as we wrap up here, even though, as Joe said, this is information that our community definitely needs, and we are seeing more people in the Black community start to pay attention, there is still a huge swath of people who are not doing it. What advice do you have, both of you, and I'll start with you, Adam, and I'll let your mom finish, to people who are just kind of looking at this and saying, I'm just not ready, or I'm afraid to do this?
Mm-hmm. Well, to them, I'd say that everyone, fear is simply the lack of knowledge. When the light is off, you're scared of the darkness because you don't know what's in the darkness. When you turn the light on, you're no longer afraid. You know, when you think about the prospect of driving, you're hurtling in a metal vehicle with flammable liquid. That sounds pretty intimidating, but we let 14 and 15-year-olds, you know, start driving. So it's really once you learn the process step by step in a very easy-to-digest manner, it ends up being something that becomes second nature. But that's why you need to take the time in order to learn, or else you'll just end up, you know, spending more money than you'll make in the long run, because every day there's more and more opportunity in the market. Just to prove a point, I played none of the Wall Street Bet stocks, started out with $400 2 weeks ago, and I have $2,700 now. That was to prove a point that it's better to have an education to scope out the everyday opportunity yourself than to rely on the hearsay of millions of people in an online community. So like I said, knowledge is always going to pay the best, so you should invest in yourself to learn how to do it the right way by taking a course or getting a coach before you, you know, just go out off of the recommendations of someone and you don't have a plan on how to get in or how to get out.
LaShawn, you have 10 seconds because obviously you taught him that.
Right, I did. But, you know, only 33% of Black households owned stock in 2019, according to the Federal Reserve, and so versus 61% of white households. And I think we didn't start from the same playing field, but what's important is that we make a decision to start. Mm-hmm. Like, money that's never in the market doesn't get multiplied. You have to be in the market to benefit from the market.
Well, I'm going to have to stop you there because I am out of time.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, Adam, you're going to have to apologize to your mom because you cut her off the last time. Get her a cake. Or help buy your mom some stock. Adam Holland, LaShawn Holland, thank you all so very, very much for talking to us. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, February 3rd. I'm Harold Fisher. Unheard with Wes Hall is next. Good night.